Overwhelming. And Dave Valerio is taking his vacation, and we are pleased to have Sherilyn Hepburn here playing the piano for us. My name, of course, is Wayne Netney, and I will now call us to worship. Praise God, for it is good to sing praises to God. God is gracious and loving and invites us to worship this day. Come, let us worship God together.
Our opening hymn today is number 147, and we will sing verses 1 and 4.
Creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, God made them. All creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. God gave us eyes to see them, and lips that we may tell. Creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
If you'll join me in the prayer of confession. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us confess our sins to God and one another. God of freedom, set us at liberty, we who are captive of sin, and grant us absolution as we confess our sin. Prisoners by self-interest, we too often our neighbors. We bolster our own egos at others' expense. When slander is rampant, we seldom stop it. When rumors are rife, we do not seek to find the truth. Help us to check our destructive ways, lest we consume one another, and help us to use our freedom in more loving ways. Amen. Join me in the words of assurance. God is love, grace, and forgiveness.
Grant us your grace and forgive our sins.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we know our sins are forgiven. Now, if you'll turn to the back of your hymnals, and join me in the UCC Statement of Faith. We believe in you, O God, Eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the world into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, You have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.
This is the time we share our announcements. Of course, you all know that worship time will be 9:30 all summer long until the very last Sunday in August. Kathy is on vacation until next week. She won't be in until a week from Tuesday, if you're trying to reach her. And Sherilyn, you would like to say something about a special event for the CE committee.
I would. The CE committee is hosting a all-church family Olympics Saturday, August 27th. It'll be at 4 o'clock p.m., 4 to 6 across the street in the lawn of the CE building. We are asking people to RSVP just so we have an idea of how many people are coming, and also if you would be willing to contribute something for the cookout. When you RSVP, you have the opportunity to sign up for something as well. It'll be an opportunity. We're going to have some fun Olympic-type games for all ages. As well as the cookout. To RSVP, you can go to the church's website. It's now up and live. If you go to events and then the family cookout and Olympics, you'll see the link to RSVP. If you're really technically challenged and can't find it, just let me know if you're planning to attend. We can do it that way as well. We are inviting everyone in the church of all ages, members, family, extended family, friends, neighbors. It'll just be a good time for some food and fun and fellowship. Thank you.
Sounds like a great way to head into the fall. Absolutely. And the Mission Committee wants you to remember that we are having a children's clothing swap. You'll hear more about it next week, but please take these off of the table in the back. It tells you all about it. This is a very worthwhile thing for us to attempt to do, so thank you for that, Gil, from the Mission Committee. Are there any other announcements anyone else would like to make? If not, then let us remember how much God truly has blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings. Have brought these gifts, and we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Play for some special music today, a piano solo that I've played before. It's been a few years, but it's one of my favorites. It's called His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Amen.
His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. One of my favorites. This is our time for celebrations, and so Sherilyn, we're so pleased that you are able to fill in for Mr. Dave. I don't think we understand how wonderful our music program is here at Central Congregational Church sometimes between these two great musicians, and it's so wonderful to have Sherilyn as backup for sure. You sure you don't want to take over Dave's job?
Yep.
Okay. I wouldn't get rid of him for anything. Absolutely. I'd like to also celebrate the people that filled in the pulpit for me when I was on vacation. Tammy, you were here. I was watching you. You did a great job. Warna also, thank you very much. Dave was here twice, and then finally the chaplain at the Sturdy Memorial Hospital, Bert Cote, who's a great guy and pretty newly ordained, as a matter of fact. He spent most of his life in the, I think, in the dairy product world, and he got the call and went to seminary, and he's a good one. I also received word from Chris and Steve White. How many of you remember Chris and Steve White? Okay, very good. They became grandparents. Nicole gave birth to a girl, Skylar Helena Lee. She was born on June 28th, so it's always good to hear from people who have been our members in the past. Oh, Cora thinks that's a good celebration as well. That's good. Any other celebrations that you would like to lift up? Just shout them out. If I can hear them, I'll try to repeat them. Oh, Charlene's trying to keep that quiet, I'll bet. And she probably won't play happy birthday for herself. So we'll just wish you a happy birthday, Sherilyn. We won't put you through that torture. Very good. Yes, Tammy. Oh, wonderful. It's always good. And your dad is 88. Good for him. Good for him. Very good. Any other celebrations? If not, I'm not sure I have all of our concerns, but you can get them to me during the week, and I will include them next week. To my knowledge, no one is hospitalized. We're still praying at home for Richard Lamoureux. Gil had a little bit of an episode, so we'll pray for you today, Gil. You can always use a prayer, right? Absolutely. Martha, who was supposed to be our other deacon today, is home and very ill. So our thoughts and prayers are with Martha McCatton, and we're thankful that Barbara Billsborough is here and able to fill in for her. So thank you, Barbara, for being here. For those who have ongoing medical issues, we pray for Jen, for Katie, for Marilyn, for Lee, and for Christine Mitchell's father, Michael. For those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, Jackie Glass is in hospice care, but really doing quite well. So that's interesting. She's doing very well, and I will check in with her this week. Carolyn Farrell and Nancy Kelly, Kathy Trowbridge's mother, in the Branches. We also pray for all of those who struggle with addictions. We pray for our nation and the well-being of the world during these very trying times. And we pray especially for the people of Ukraine and pray for peace. We really need to get to a place of peace in our world. And we also pray for our monthly mission, which I believe is the Jean M. Parisot Foundation in the Haiti School. That's still that's still what we're doing this month, right? Very good. You know that we are in that because of the McCattons, who have been very instrumental, and we've been supporting that school for a while. And still the what do I want to say? It's still the poorest country in the world, Haiti. So it's always good to give them some hope. So let us be in a moment of prayer, and let us lift all of these things into God's presence. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have created us in your own image, but too swiftly we lose our likeness to you. We gather in this place of worship and admit that our minds are often occupied by thoughts outside this place and your presence. There is so much to be done, and we can't even sit still anticipating all that awaits us. Help us to come into this place of worship and enable us to hear your still, your quiet voice. Open us up to the revelation of yourself in our lives. Lead us in the way you would have us go. Keep us mindful that all people are made in your image and that we owe them their right to dignity and respect. Keep us faithful in your call to us to care for one another, especially with all of those whose names that we have mentioned on this day. Bless all of those people who are struggling, who are ill, who are in pain, and are undergoing medical issues. And hear us now as the names of those people are on our minds and on our lips. Gracious God, close our mouths and open our ears, move our bodies to do your will today and every day. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I read the scripture reading, we'll do the Lord's Prayer.
Yes, we should do that. Thank you.
Which we skipped. So please join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for doing your deacon's duty.
I'm here for you. The story of Abram is the story of the beginning of the three faiths that stress monotheism, a belief in only one God. Abram is the patriarch of Judaism, and we Christians are the offspring of that great faith. Abram is also the patriarch of Islam. Abram has just won a victory, and yet he goes to God with sadness and fear. Listen then to these words from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. A young man tells of visiting a college which had been having some problems with, you know, assaults and so forth. And so they had placed these security boxes every so often so that if you were a little bit nervous, you could go to the security box and immediately get to the security police. You could hit the button and a security officer would come and investigate immediately. On one of those phones hung a sign that said, out of order. Underneath it, someone had said, "Keep running." Fear is a powerful, powerful emotion, isn't it? There was a bishop who had an irrational fear that his legs were going to become paralyzed. One night while he was at a dinner party, he reached down and pinched his leg, and he couldn't feel anything. He was alarmed, and out loud he exclaimed, "Oh no, it is just as I feared. I am totally without feeling below my waist." And the lady sitting next to him said, "If it is any comfort to your grace, the leg you pinched was mine." All kinds of things can make us hit the panic button. I hit the panic button today when I heard that Martha wasn't going to be here. Thank you, Pam, as always, for being here. And thank you, Barbara, for filling in. I really appreciate that. But there are countless times that the words, "Fear not," appear in the scriptures. It is one of the most common expressions in the Bible. The first time God says, "Fear not," is to anyone in the Bible is in our lesson for today from Genesis. And it comes at an interesting time, really. Abram, which was his name before he became Abraham, has returned from a tremendous military victory over four kings from Mesopotamia. You may remember that these kings had banded together for the purpose of military conquest, and he had kidnapped Abram's nephew Lot. And so he was able to free Lot and outdo them on the battlefield, these four kings and their armies. And he is beginning to acquire both wealth and stature for these accomplishments. Still, in spite of all of these accomplishments, his heart is uncertain about his future and uncertain about God, the very God who called him to this country. I suspect all of us have been there at some time or another. Have you ever been uncertain about your future? Have you ever been downright worried? It's not unreasonable in today's world. There's a war in Ukraine, which could end up drawing us into a new world war. There's a good job report, and gas prices are starting to go down, but all the news is still about inflation and the potential of another recession. COVID is still here. Attendance at worship service in most churches is down. So we fret and lament, and we want to go back to the good old days, whatever that means to us. One reason Abram was uncertain was because he and his wife, bye, Cora, because he and his wife were childless. And some of you may know that heartache of wanting to have a child but not being able to. It's a very difficult human condition to go through at any time in history. But for people in the ancient world, childlessness was particularly difficult. You see, this was an agrarian society, an agricultural society, and children were needed many times to help gather crops or tend the animals. Children were the means of carrying on family, the family line, and preserving the family inheritance, which is what Abram was complaining about to God in these words. Even more importantly, not having children made people very vulnerable in their old age. There was no one to care for them. And there would be no one to look after the funeral rites when you died that were to secure your soul's rest in the life to come. Not having a child and thus an heir weighed heavily on Abram and his wife Sarai. Of course, some of you have got children, and that weighs you down as well, doesn't it? It, in its own way, it's not easy having children in today's world. I guess it never has been easy to have children in our world. A man was submitting information to his income tax preparer. He was asked how many dependents he had. He said, 8. And the preparer asked, "Would you mind repeating that?" And the man replied, "Not if I can help it." Children and grandchildren are a source of so many joys, so many blessings, but they're also a source of many sleepless nights. What kind of future will our children have? Will they be safe? What kind of a world with climate change are they going to inherit from us? The CE committee is pursuing a study of the four things that are most problematic for our youth, and we're going to be getting together to discuss that. It doesn't get any easier in adulthood either. There's job insecurity, familial problems, illness. Will I end up alone with my children on the other side of the world? We just don't know where we will be in the future. Everyone of every age and station knows what it is to be afraid. And anxiety has been called the official emotion of our age. According to those on our CE committee, anxiety also tops the list, am I correct, of what is bothering our children, our young people today. And that can be an awful emotion to have. The word anxiety comes from the Greek word anike, meaning throat or to press together. Anike was the name of the Greek god of constraint who presided over slavery. Anike was the word used for the yokes or the rings on the necks of the slaves. So the connection between the words anike and anxiety are obvious. Anxiety can hold us back, take us by the throat, and chain us like slaves. Most of the fears that we have are probably overblown. Most of us are not going to end up homeless. We're not going to starve to death. Overeating is much more of a concern for us. Most of us are not going to contract a fatal illness soon. Some of us do. The flight you are taking is statistically not going to crash. And yet there are people who refuse to get on an airplane knowing that an automobile is far more dangerous than going on an airplane. Knowledge, however, is not always a cure for fear. We've all heard the proverb that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and that's why it is sometimes a dangerous thing, because it feeds our fears. I was reading an interesting story about Louis Pasteur. You remember that name, I'm sure. Pasteurized milk was what he gave to the world. And he is the one who discovered the germ theory of disease. He began to realize that germs are in the air on everything we touch. And in Pasteur's time, there was no such thing as an antibiotic. Through pasteurization, the process he developed, he discovered he could remove bacteria from milk, and we still use it today. However, humankind in his day was still at the mercy of the invisible killers, like strep and staph infections and bacteria and viruses that cause diseases like anthrax and cholera and rabies. Now we have antibiotics for most of those things. But even today, we know that there are people who reject science and refuse vaccinations, really without a medical reason for doing so. Pasteur's discovery that germs were everywhere haunted him. He became absolutely obsessed with contamination and cleanliness. He compulsively washed his and rewashed his hands, and he even washed his bar of soap. That's going a bit far. His fear of germs became paranoia. It affected his eating habits, and it was a constant problem for his family. So how do we deal with fear? The first is to face up to fear. Have you ever known someone who was afraid to go to the doctor because they thought they might be actually ill, so they put it off and put it off and put it off, just because they can't deal with having their fears confirmed? And that's pretty counterproductive, isn't it? We need to face our fears head on, whatever it is, and embrace it. We may be surprised at how quickly it slips away and how confident we can begin to feel. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you stop to look fear in the face." And the second thing, of course, is to fall back on our faith. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward." And after hearing Abram's statement of uncertainty over his childless state, God takes him outside and says, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. So shall your offspring be." And it was so. He and Sarah had a child very late in life to carry on his family line. And the writer of the Genesis records, Abram believed the Lord. That's a life-changing statement of faith. Abram believed the Lord. A mature faith understands that though life is difficult, we are never beyond God's loving and gracious care. So let us dare to approach the communion table this morning and remember that Jesus said to us, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If we believe what Jesus said, then what do we have to fear? So let us gather at Christ's table. Come, for all things are now ready.
Our communion hymn is number 616, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Look at the bulletin. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene, on that same day sat at the table with two disciples, and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. This table is for all Christians who wish to know the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise and bless you for creation and the gift of life and for your abiding love, which brings us close to you, the source of all blessing. We thank you for revealing your will for us in the giving of the law and in the preaching of the prophets. We thank you especially that in the fullness of time you sent Jesus, born of Mary, to live in our midst, to share in our suffering, and to accept the pain of death at the hands of those whom Jesus loved. We rejoice that in a perfect victory over the grave, you raised Christ with power to become sovereign in your realm. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to gather your church, by which your work may be done in the world and through which we share the gift of eternal life. With the faithful, in every place and time, we praise with joy your holy name, saying together the words of the Sanctus. Holy, 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 God of love and majesty. The whole universe speaks of your glory.
O God Most High, blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Give this to all my people. This is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Consecrate therefore by your Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, and bless us that as we receive them at this table, we may offer you our faith and praise, we may be united with Christ and with one another, and we may continue faith. And take this bread and know that it is the body of Christ broken for you. And this is the blood of Jesus, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it and be thankful. I'm going to ask the deacons now to pick up all those little cups.
And they'll join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence in the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal. Unite us with all who are fed by Christ's body and blood, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your universal church may be a rainbow of hope in an uncertain world. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 129, and we'll sing all four verses.
May God's peace and blessings be with you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.